Good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for joining us once again here on the Refresh Radio program. It is Friday. It is also the spring offering week here on WMIE. And so if you were thinking that someone else was going to call, and maybe they did, but there's still room, there's still time for you to call as well. If you would like to say thank you to WMIE and partner with them over the next 6 months, maybe it's a one-time gift. It might not even be, you know, a tremendous sum of money as far as the world is concerned. But one of the things that I've been trying to focus on in 2025 is the things that Jesus paid attention to. And one day he was standing where people dropped their offerings, and it was much different then than it is now, where we would send people up and down the aisles and things like that. There, the people went to where the offering was being collected, and they dropped it in. And as these rich people were putting it in, a lot of times they did it with flair, and so they dropped it in a coin at a time so that everyone could hear how many coins they were dropping in. And Jesus wasn't impressed by that, but what he was impressed with was a little widow lady who put in two mites, two very, very small coins of very little value, but it was everything she had. So God pays attention to the little things we do. He knows what's going on. And he's not impressed with the exterior things that men are impressed with. So 321-632-1000 if you'd like to partner with WMIE for the next 6 months. And so we've been talking this week on prayer, communicating with God. There's still much for us to discuss in this, but we've primarily been talking about this and communication with our Heavenly Father, communicating with God, communicating with the one that we are doing covenant life together with, that we're going to be talking to for all of eternity. So prayer is not a have to, prayer is a privilege. It is something that healthy relationships do. They talk with one another. And so I've been focusing more on the nature of the relationship that makes communication possible. One of the things that I really struggle with is whenever I see someone whose default mechanism is to give people the silent treatment. The silent treatment is indicative of a relationship that is under duress, under stress. And the only way that you're going to get that unhealthy relationship back to a condition of health is to have a discussion with one another, where you find out what is upsetting one, what the problem was. Sometimes it could be a misunderstanding. Sometimes it could be an oversight on a person's part. Sometimes it could be intentional. Sometimes it could be unintentional. But if you never discuss how you got to that unhealthy place, you will never be able to begin the journey back to a condition of health. When I first came to Merit Assembly, it was in need of new carpet. Let me rephrase that. It was in need of different carpet. It needed new carpet, but we couldn't afford new carpet because there was no money. And so I was teaching one night, and back in those days, everybody loved to sit all the way in the back, and there weren't many, many people at all. And I was teaching on Wednesday night, and this carpet was so old, it was so deteriorated, that the seams of the carpet were no longer attached to one another. If you were running the vacuum cleaner and it grabbed hold of one of those threads, it would just start unraveling it all the way from one end of the sanctuary to the other, and then start the way back again. One night I was teaching about dealing with the problems, and I said a lot of people just like to sweep their problems under the rug. And I reached down there, and it wasn't planned. I just happened to be there. And I reached down and I picked up one of the seams of the carpet, and I said, and they sweep this problem under, and then they sweep this problem under, and they sweep this problem under. And if you keep doing that, before long, you have a mountain of problems that may not be visible to the eye, but everyone knows that they're there. And my dad happened to be in that service, my mother and father, and he came up to me and he said, "Where did you learn to do that? What made you do that?" I said, "God dropped it in my spirit, and that's what I did there." You see, there were a lot, I've known a lot of people who had relational issues, but they never dealt with them. They were just looking for the storm to pass, and then they wanted to go back because they mistook tranquility for peace. And peace is not the absence of conflict. Peace is wholeness and completion in the eyes of God. So, 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18 says this: "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." So there are three aspects that are mentioned here that Paul says are specifically the will of God. We could do a teaching series on the will of God, and you know the Bible is very clear. A lot of people want to overlook the revealed will of God and get totally fixated on the specific will of God. You know, what job, what house, what car, all that. But that specific is birthed out of the general. So you've got to know what the revealed will of God is in the Word. You got to put that into practice. And then you will begin to have God open your eyes to understand what the specific will of God. So Christians, it says here that the will of God in Christ Jesus for us is this: rejoice always. I hope that the days that you are filled with joy are exponentially greater than the number of days that you don't. I hope that you realize that life is better with Jesus than 10,000 lives would have been without him. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be easy, but we can rejoice that our problems have an expiration date and our joy doesn't. Not only that, but the reason we can rejoice is because Jesus in John chapter 17 was praying for the disciples and the believers, and he said that he wanted his joy to be fulfilled in our lives. So the kingdom of God is righteousness. We talked about that on yesterday's program, but it is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So Christians ought to go around with joy that comes from heaven, not just happiness that comes from circumstances or events. So rejoicing is something we are supposed to do always. The third thing is, in everything, give thanks. So one of the things that I tell people about golfing is that whenever I go golfing, I am able to give thanks for the opportunity, because there's going to be at least one shot that's going to make me want to come back. A lot of times I get to see wildlife out there. I get to see some things that I don't normally get to see throughout the course of the week. But one of the things that I praise God for is that I don't earn my living from playing golf. There are a lot of people that take it very, very seriously. And I really want to go out and play well. But I realize that I can't hit it as far as pros do. I don't hit it as straight as pros do. I don't know how far it's going to go. I can't putt the way that pros can putt. And I'm thankful that you don't have to be a scratch golfer to get into heaven. So I can go out there and not have a great round of golf, and I can find something to thank God for. I can thank God for the great shots that I've hit. I can thank God for the people that I've met, for the fellowship that I've got to have. There's a lot of different reasons that I can give thanks. That's not the hard part. The hard part is when Joseph got sold by his brothers as a slave, and then he ended up in an Egyptian prison, and somehow in all of that, he managed to keep his faith, keep his integrity, keep his morality, keep his heart open to what God was saying. He heard things from heaven while in a prison. And after that, he became the equivalent of the prime minister of Egypt, if you will. He was underneath Pharaoh, and that was it. And he could have lived his life completely and totally embittered. And then one day his brothers show up, the ones that, you know, exacerbated this problem and initiated the problem. And he could have said, no, we're not giving you anything. Here, let me tell you how much it's going to cost you. He could have exacted the exact cost that they had sold him for. But instead he said, what you intended for evil, God intended for good. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Well, in between the rejoicing and in between the giving of thanks, there is a verse that has three words in it, and that is this: pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. And so we can see that communication with our Heavenly Father is something that is supposed to be continual. What Paul is writing to the church at Thessalonica is that prayer should be a lifestyle, where you and I are talking. So I told on one of the programs this week, I don't remember which one, about having to make a collect phone call because I was going to visit my grandfather's hometown after he had passed away, and I wanted to show my kids. That was before I had a cell phone. I remember seeing commercials for the first wireless network, and it was saying, wouldn't it be great if your phone calls could go with you? I remember looking at that and saying, no, I don't think that's a good idea at all, because You know, that means people can get a hold of me at any given point in time. Well, I realized that now with smartphones and everything like that, my work can go with me wherever I need it to go. So people can get in touch with me. And we can get in touch with God. God has universal coverage. There will never be a dropped call due to a technological outage with God. I don't know if it happens to you. It happens to me where all of a sudden my phone just refuses to make a phone call. And then I have to shut it off and then I have to turn it back on and reset it. And hopefully then it'll make calls and let calls come through. Every once in a while, I will have a text message that shows up and it was sent a week ago. And I'll send a text. I am so sorry if you thought that I did not respond. This text message literally just came through. Because I'm one of those pastors that if a missionary calls me, if a friend calls me, if a person from the church calls me, I'm going to do my best to get back in touch with them in some form or fashion. There are some people who never return phone calls. I preached a message one time, and I probably could have done this technologically a little bit easier, but I took one of our landlines and I put it in the sound booth, and I told the person running the sound booth, I said, I'm going to make a phone call and I want you to just let this phone ring. The answering machine is disengaged. It's just going to ring and ring and ring and ring. And the point that I was making is that God's desire is to be in constant communication with us. He's had the spiritual technology of communicating with every living human being at the same time, long before electronics ever came along. So you can be looking at a person walking down the street and they're talking, and there was a day and time when if that was taking place, you would have looked at them as if they were not in their right mind. Now you look at that and I've literally thought that a person was talking to me. I answered them and said, hold on, there's somebody that thinks I'm talking to them. I'm on the phone. I'm using Bluetooth technology here. And so they are talking to a person that may be miles away, maybe states away, maybe countries away. And they are talking to them as they're going throughout their day. And I've been on planes where as soon as somebody could turn on the phone, there were a trip I took here back in earlier this year. There was a salesman on the phone. He, as soon as we could activate the phones, he was on the phone, touching base with customers, making deals, finding out if there were problems that needed to be addressed. He didn't even wait till he got into the airport. He just powered up his phone and said, let's get to work. So you and I pray without ceasing doesn't mean that we are going to be on our knees 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It means that we are going to walk in fellowship with the Heavenly Father the way that Jesus walked in fellowship with the Heavenly Father, so we could hear what the Father is saying, so that we can go where He wants us to go and do what he wants us to do and the manner in which he wants it done, so that he is glorified. That's what it means to pray without ceasing. So if I'm talking to a person, there's very few times that this rule gets broken. Very few. Now, if someone calls while I'm on the radio, I'm not going to answer the phone. You don't need me that distracted. I need to quit chasing as many rabbits as I chase on a regular basis, and I don't need even more distractions and things like that. But for the most part, if my wife calls, if my kids call, I'm going to answer the phone, because communicating with those that I'm related to, those I'm doing life with, if someone sends me a text message, I've literally got messages before where I was getting ready to preach, and all of a sudden there was an emergency that came up that required my attention, and I said, "Brother, can you come up here and preach the word? Because I've got to go, and I've got to minister to this situation. It's a crisis situation." And, you know, so emergency communications are available to each and every one of us. Again, it should be a priority, not a last resort. One of the stories that I heard many, many years ago, it's a story that I've just always stuck with me, probably because I've been in similar positions before where I needed a job. And I'll close out the today's program with that story. But there was a company that was operating telegraph. So this was a day or two ago. I was not around for the telegraph. I'm not that old. But they had advertised a job opening for a telegraph operator. And so this guy decides that he's going to go down and he's going to apply for the job as a telegraph operator. And he walks in and there's a whole room full of people. And they are all ahead of him. They are all lined up. There are no appointments or anything like that. And they have all beat him to apply for the job. And they said, we're here in front of you. No one's called for us yet. And so, you know, you'll just have to wait like the rest of us. He said, okay, no problem. So he went over and he found a chair and he sat down in it. And in a few minutes, he got up from the chair and he went through a door. He was gone for several minutes and then he emerged from the door and he said, "You all can go home. I got the job." And they said, "Wait a minute, that's not fair. We were here before you. How did you even get considered before we did? We were here first." And he said, "Oh, it wasn't that I was the first one." He said, "But while I was sitting in the chair, there was a message that was coming across the telegraph that said, 'This is the job application. If you hear this message, telegraph your name and information back, you are the one that got the job.'" And what the people had failed to appreciate was a telegraph operator was not just in charge of sending messages when they wanted messages sent, but they were also responsible for receiving messages when they were sent to them. Prayer is a healthy communication that says, God, I'm available for you to speak to me anywhere, anytime. And God, I'm so thankful that I can call upon you from a den of lions. I can call upon you from a fiery furnace. I can call upon you if I am pressed in between a hostile army and a Red Sea. I can call upon you before a cross, on the cross, after the cross. I'm so glad that I have the opportunity to hear from you and to call upon you. So my wife and I got married, and we were just about to run out of money. The rent was coming due, and went to church one night, and the youth pastor came and said, Bob, what do you need for us to pray with you about? I said, I need a job. I need a job like now, because money is delayed from, it wasn't day labor back then. It was going to be a week or 2 weeks or whatever until you got paid. I said, I need a job. I need a job today. The next day, I was walking through a shopping mall. I could tell you the exact date of this particular event. I was waiting for a gift. This was back in the days when malls were vibrant. And I was waiting for a gift to be inscribed. And a person came out from the store and said, do you still need a job? I said, yes, I do. And he, to make a long story short, by Saturday, I think that was a Thursday, by Saturday, I had a job. Praying is not just something we do because it works. Praying is something that we do all the time. When you go to bed tonight, make praying one of the last things you do. When you get up in the morning, make praying one of the first things that you do. When you are facing a challenge, pray. When you're facing a victory, pray. Let's all pray without ceasing. See you next week.